The reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 to chapter 2 verse 3. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in a reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid the ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This morning we begin a series of six from 1 Peter. Confidence in a complex world. Under the overall theme of confidence, we will be exploring something of what it means to live as Christians, the joys and sufferings, the responsibilities and the blessings, relationships with one another and with God, the present limitations and the future glory. It's generally agreed that the Apostle Peter is the author of these letters written to the churches in Asia Minor before the outbreak of the persecutions of Nero. Peter, the uneducated Galilean fisherman, has the help of Silvanus, the competent scribe and a trusted brother, who's able to convey both Peter's eyewitness accounts of Jesus as well as his apostolic authority. At the same time, Peter conveys his dependence upon the Lord Jesus, from whom his authority is derived. You will recall Jesus meeting Peter on the beach and his questioning Peter's love for him and the instruction to feed and care for his lambs and sheep. The flock is not handed over to Peter. They remain, in Jesus' words, my lambs and my sheep. We remembered this in Holy Week, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Peter, in his letters, is not writing about himself, nor from any personal worth of his own. Rather, Jesus Christ is the name and authority with which he writes. Our attention is drawn to the authority of Jesus. If we claim Jesus as Lord, then we should listen to his words as Peter has done back then on the beach. Peter writes this letter to God's elect, you who have been chosen, which, like Peter's name and title, draws our attention to God. The fact that it is not anything in the people or ourselves that make us special, nothing that they or we have done, something that God has done for us. They were, and we are, the recipients of God's choice. In 2 John 1 verse 12 we read, but to all who have received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. So, this morning, we come with confidence in the gospel that as God's chosen people, we are given new birth into a living hope, a power within us and around us now, which even the angels long to look into. That power is the Holy Spirit at work in us. Let us pray. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, cause us to see and to hear. Take what belongs to our Heavenly Father and his Son Jesus and reveal it to our hearts. Amen. Peter reminds the Christians in Asia Minor that they have been given this new birth. It's God's gift to all who receive it, a rebirth of our spirit into a living hope. It was into a situation of wealth, where trade and culture flourished, where the church was in comfortable affluence, that Peter wrote, having some sense of the impending violence that will be done to those who profess Christ, to remind them in what and where their true hope and life finds its security. When we have everything that we need, it's easy to take our eyes off Jesus and feel so much confidence in our own ability to provide what we need for our families and ourselves. Maybe this current pandemic has caused us to reevaluate. The Christians whom Peter wrote to were to be condemned for not worshipping the emperor, or simply for being Christians or professing Christianity. From their point of view, whatever the legal complications may have been, Christians suffered because they were Christian, so they needed the assurance of a solid foundation as the basis of their faith. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16? Simon Peter, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. It is with this confidence that Peter writes his epistle. Truth revealed to him, not through his own sharp mind and intellect, but by the Father in heaven. The foundation of the living hope is to be found in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Notice that we are shielded by God's power. Shielded for what? Though now, for a little while, we may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of far greater worth than gold, may be proved genuine, resulting in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus is revealed. Do you remember what Jesus said about faith? You know, as small as a grain of mustard seed. And you put that on the balance and gold on the other side. Faith is of far more worth. Being a Christian is not a passport for a trouble-free life. In fact, the Bible teaches more of the opposite. Following Jesus Christ is not without cost, nor is it an exemption certificate from the pain and suffering of this world. But it is about having complete confidence in the power of the gospel and the living hope of God's kingdom. It's so tempting to look down at our earthly physical experience rather than look up to Jesus. I don't want to deny suffering and trials of many different kinds, nor am I afraid to ask the imponderable question of God, why, O God, why? Why should my friend be murdered? Didn't you realize that she was at Bible college? Why should my friend die of a brain tumor? Didn't you realize his son was not yet 1 year old? Why did that family have to die? Didn't you know they were flying out to serve you in Nepal? Why should that dear old man suffer from dementia after all he has given in the service of our church? You may say, why should I suffer from asthma, diabetes, a bad heart, a bad neck, cancer, a failed business or broken relationships, etc., etc.? Why? Hori ten Boon said this: if God sends us on stony paths, he provides strong shoes. Peter tells us that this is not so that our faith should be made weak, but so that our faith may be proved genuine. Faith is of far greater worth than gold, which in the face of trials of all kinds can give rise to praise and glory and honor to the name of Jesus, as Jesus is revealed in and through our sufferings. Peter, in writing this letter, does not get a boat or a chariot to remove himself to some remote outpost of the Roman Empire. No. Within a few months of writing this letter, he himself was among the martyred. Peter does not offer sympathy in this letter, but began with an inscription of praise and thanks to God. Peter is looking forward all the time to the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, to the receipt of the goal of faith, the salvation of our souls. The resurrection of Jesus opens to us a relationship with God unspoiled by sin, and to those who are in Christ, hearts filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Listen to verses 10 to 12. They remind us of the context of these things. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation being prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's sufferings and his great glory afterwards. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It's also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Today, if you're unsure of this living hope and want God to make it a reality for you, or if you feel your heart has grown hard and cold, or if you lack that inexpressible joy, whatever your need, open your hands and ask God to pour his Holy Spirit afresh into your life, to bring you a revelation of his love. Or if you want to respond to the invitation of Jesus to receive him and the blessing he won for you on the cross, then open your hands and heart, invite him now. This invitation of Jesus is for all who are thirsty. The water Jesus gives is the water of eternal life. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Break into our hearts and lives. Come now. Father God of compassion and mercy, may our faith prove genuine. May our desire be wholly met with your refining fire, that we are set apart for you, Master, ready to do your will. We ask in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.